Hi, this is Lynn Fraser with the Kilavi Center for Recovery and the Radical Recovery Summit, and I'm really happy to be here again with Dr. Gabor Maté. And Dr. Maté, if you could maybe just give people a bit of an outline of what you're seeing with the virus and the pandemic. How are people struggling, and what might you say to help them kind of work with that a little bit?
Yeah. I'm always a bit taken aback when people ask for wisdom, because I'm not assuming that I have any. I'm just going through this like everybody else. Well, not like everybody else, I'm going through it in my own way. And I think we're all going through it in our own way. You know that personally for me, I may be one of the ones least affected, because my plans have not been interfered with. I was just going to be at home writing a book anyway, so that's what I'm doing. For a lot of people, this has been very heavy.
Yeah,
you have to begin with acknowledging that. So we talk about how the virus, we're on this together, and you know that's true, but it's also not true. In a sense that the way we're in it is very much dependent on who we are, where we're living, what our social status is, what our financial statuses and what stresses we're under in our life.
Right.
So the first thing that I see is that the pandemic is actually revealing the fault lines that are always there in this culture, but are usually papered over. It's not hitting everybody the same way. People who are of color are dying at much greater numbers.
Yeah.
And that's not an accident. That's because they're the most stressed all the time.
Right.
Now, this doesn't mean that the virus can't hit anybody of any color, any status, any economic stratum. Mm-hmm. That's true, it can, and it has. But disproportionately, the burden is falling on the most traumatized and the most stressed segments of the population.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the truth with health. That's always the case. So the first thing that I'm noticing is that truths are being revealed that we usually ignore. And the question is, are we going to continue to ignore them after this is over?
Right.
Also, we're seeing a rise in domestic violence, domestic abuse internationally.
Mm-hmm.
That means that when people have less opportunity to lightning rod their stresses,
right,
on the workplace or in the gym or in the pub or wherever they do it, they're being at home and act it out on the people closest to them.
Right.
But those stresses and traumas that are being expressed in the domestic violence increase have always been there. So that's another fault line. When I say fault, I don't mean a mistake or sin. I mean like a breaking point.
Like an earthquake fault line.
Yeah, which we can step over usually, but this time it's becoming revealed. So I think that's also true for us personally, in that whatever your issues are, they're going to show up right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have less opportunity to divert our attention from them, or less opportunity to, what's the word, detour away from them. So that also means this is a good opportunity to observe ourselves and to what we're up against personally in our lives or as a society in general, things that usually we might comfortably ignore. So my thoughts are really that this is an opportunity to really look and to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I say that from the relative luxury of having the time and the space to do it. Others are really up against severe financial strictures right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs, people are being isolated. Elderly people are at home alone. They can't handle the isolation. You know, it's too much for them. People's depressions are rising. You know, so again, even dealing with this and learning from it is kind of a privilege.
True. Yeah, true. You were speaking about the difference in people's brains as well. People with a lot of trauma are interpreting this differently than someone without as much. Can you just say a little bit about that?
Well, so we know that the brain is programmed by early experience. And the first part of the brain to develop is actually the right side of the brain, the right hemisphere. It is a more rapid period of development in the prenatal period and also in the first year and a half than the left brain. Mm-hmm. This is the seat of the unconscious, the limbic brain. Mm-hmm. And the amygdala, which is the fear and emotional processing center, when we experience threats in utero and early in life, and that threat simply could be as much as a parent not being able to connect with you the way you need to be. Mm-hmm. These structures become programmed with a certain view of the world. 40 years later, the COVID crisis strikes. Right. And all this fear comes up. And then for some people, then the left side of the brain comes in and says, well, there's got to be an explanation for this fear that I'm having. Oh, this is a plot. This is a conspiracy. There's a cabal trying to control the earth. Mm-hmm. This is the left brain trying to make sense of the fear, which is lodged in the right brain, which goes back to early childhood. Right. So what I'm saying is that the experiences are very much affecting how they respond to this, because there's a difference between legitimate concern, what mm-hmm. will happen to the job, what will happen to the world, and the emotion of fear. They're not the same thing. And the more in a fear mode we are, the more it means that our amygdala, the alarm bell in our brain, is ringing like crazy. But that's usually the trauma impact rather than a response to present day reality.
Right. Right. The way our brains formed and the way we interpret threat now.
That's right.
Right. Right. So if someone's in that situation, that just makes it so much harder for them.
Yeah. It makes it much.
Yeah. So do you have any suggestions for people who are really struggling with addiction or that kind of catastrophic thinking? Or
Well, addictions have also gone up. We know that. The number of overdoses has gone up. But in general, drinking has gone up. Drug use has gone up. That's what the international reports seem to indicate.
Right.
Addictable. Because the more stressed people are, the more they want to escape from their stress. Mm-hmm. So look, I say to people, I don't give advice that's not asked for, you know? Mm-hmm. So if someone's drinking and they come to me for advice, I might say to them, if you perceive that drinking is a problem for you, then consider what the drinking is doing for you. Is it helping to allay your fear? Well, then rather than drinking, talk to somebody about your fear. But if you need to drink, drink. You know, it's not up to me to tell somebody what to do or what not to do.
Right.
Whatever gets you through the night. But then drink responsibly. Mm-hmm. Be aware of what you're drinking and how much you're drinking and why you're drinking.
Right. Be conscious about that. Yeah.
Be conscious about it. And if you're going to use drugs, well, for God's sakes, be safe about it. Don't use drugs if you don't know what they are. Don't experiment with street drugs. But I mean, look, the people who most need that advice are not the people watching this podcast.
No, that's true. Yeah.
The people watching this podcast are already seeking consciousness, mm-hmm. seeking awareness, mm-hmm. and they're not in pure escape mode. If they were, they wouldn't be watching.
True.
Radical recovery.
Program,
you know.
True.
So, yeah. So in terms of what to say to people, I think consciousness, be aware of what you're experiencing, be aware of what you can handle, what you can't handle. Be aware when you might need help, reach out to anybody that can help. If it's a friend that can just listen to you without mm-hmm. giving advice,
Right.
I, for one, I mean, what I'm working on right now is I'm writing a book, Lynn, as you know, and my new book, and I've actually started talking about this the last couple of weeks, because the challenge of the book writing was bringing up some emotions for me that were difficult to handle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Talk to somebody. I mean, here I am, you know, teaching therapy to people and all this, but my God, it feels really good to talk to somebody once a week.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you just say a little bit about your Compassionate Inquiry program? Or any other resources that you might want to direct people to. But I know that that's such an excellent program, and there's so many people now that are trained to really, to kind of work with people the way that you might. How would people get in touch with that?
Well, so Compassionate Inquiry is a course of my way of working with people. And there's two iterations of it. There's two versions of it. One is an intensive year-long interactive participatory program
mm-hmm.
That we start three times a year, I think February, May, and maybe August.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of people internationally taking the program. And that involves bi-weekly check-in sessions, mentoring, videos of me teaching, those videos explained and broken down and sort of organized mm-hmm. themes, and then again supervised participation, and then once a month a master class with me mm-hmm. That's an intensive program for people working with people, therapists, counselors, yoga teachers,
mm-hmm.
Psychiatrists, whoever they are.
Right.
There's a much less expensive and we do offer scholarships, by the way, but there's a less expensive non-participatory, self-led version of it, mm-hmm. Compassionate Inquiry. It's a short course where, again, a lot of the teachings, the videos, and the explanations of the method are in there, but it's not participatory, it's not supervised, it's not interactive.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's less expensive, and it's much less demanding of your time because you can do it at your own pace.
Right.
So both versions are available online. Compassion. All you have to do is Google Compassionate Inquiry short course or Compassionate Inquiry, and you'll find something that you'll get to a link that'll.
Right.
Rich Simon of Psychotherapy Networker and I just filmed, and so PESI, PESI offers sort of a master class on Compassionate Inquiry where we take certain videos and then Rich asks me about why I do what I do.
No.
From them as well. You can look up their version of it. And there's yet another set of master classes and this is four different versions of it now.
Mm-hmm.
That's from another group from California. That's an intensive master class
mm-hmm.
That you can download. That's again available, or you can find information at my website. So there's lots of versions of it, but it all comes down to some engagement with the way I work with people. And really what it's all about is how to get very quickly to the heart of the problem. So that right. When you watch it, what most people are struck by is just how little it takes to get down to what's important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, it's not a substitute for other therapies. I don't set it up in competition. It's an mm-hmm. approach that either appeals to people or doesn't, but it's not something that you learn by rote. It's an approach that you absorb. That's what it's meant to be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was at your workshop a few years ago, and it was really interesting to just see how you worked with people and the clarity, the compassion, and how people responded to that. I would really highly recommend for people to check that out. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for taking the time to be with me today and to talk about this. And good luck with your book. I hope that goes well.
Thank you. It's a big challenge doing this book, but I'm doing it, you know, and
mm-hmm.
2.5 more months to go. So we'll see how it turns out.
Right. All right. Well, thanks very much, Kevin.
Lynn, always nice to see you. Take care.
You too. Bye for now.
The Killaby Center for Recovery is reaching out to some of the people we've interviewed for the Radical Recovery Summit. We're asking, how can you support people that are struggling during the COVID-19 pandemic? There is a range of programs and supports that people are offering, as well as ways to frame this. What is it that's happening inside of you during this time? Come to radicalrecoverysummit.com to click right through to the interviews.